You could turn into Luke's Gospel in chapter 21. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, and I'll begin to read at verse 5. And as some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, he said, "As for these things which ye behold, the days will come, in the which there shall not be left one stone upon another, that shall not be thrown down." And they asked him, saying, "Master, but when shall these things be? And what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass?" And he said, "Take heed that ye be not deceived. For many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by." Then said he unto them, "Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines, and pestilences, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these things, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle therefore in your hearts not to meditate before what ye shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And ye shall be betrayed, both by parents and brethren and kinsfolks and friends. And some of you shall lay cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated for all men, by all men for my name's sake. But there shall not an hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out. And let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. For there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars. And upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up, and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." And he spake to them a parable. "Behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. And in the day time he was teaching in the temple, and at night he went out and abode in the mount that is called the Mount of Olives. And all the people came early in the morning to him in the temple for to hear him. Well, may God bless to us that reading there from his word. On Sunday evenings, those of you regularly here know for a long time now, we've been going through Luke's gospel, looking at all those occasions where Jesus refers to himself as the Son of Man. It's a title that has its roots in the Old Testament, and it speaks of the deity and the humanity of Jesus at one and the same time. It was a title that reminds us of what the Bible says, that he was God manifest in human flesh. And it's a title he uses most of himself, far, far more than any other. And as we look into this chapter, Luke chapter 21, in this long discourse that Jesus gives, speaking about the temple and what is going to happen to the temple in the days ahead, in verses 27 and 36, he uses this title, once again, the Son of Man, for himself. The people were speaking about the glory and the beauty of their temple. And Jesus goes on to speak about the temple. But what he says about the temple is far from what they're expecting, because he tells them it's going to be totally destroyed. There won't be one stone left on another. And those listening to this, what a thing that our temple being destroyed like this, thought he was speaking about his coming again and ushering in the final judgment of all mankind. But he wasn't. He was speaking of God's judgment that was going to fall upon the nation of Israel, because as a people in general, they'd rejected him, the Son of Man. They'd rejected him as being God the Son. They rejected him as being the promised Messiah, the promised Savior. And that rejection culminated when they were given the choice of choosing release of Barabbas, an evil man, a guilty man, and the sinless Son of God. And they asked for the release of Barabbas, and they just cried out, crucify him for the Son of God. Sometimes people today make the very same mistake those people Jesus was talking to at that particular time, theologically, when they think about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because in the parallel passages in Matthew 24 and Mark 13, things aren't as clear as they are here in Luke 21. And I'm saying this because you can get many books on the second coming and hear some preachers about the second coming, and they take the verses where Jesus is speaking about the coming judgment upon Israel and the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple as speaking about his second coming. And they don't realize here Jesus is speaking about two different things. They have various aspects in common, but he's speaking about two different things. First of all, he's speaking about the coming judgment that's going to fall on Israel and the temple being destroyed, Jerusalem being destroyed. But as he does that, as we go towards the end of the chapter, he goes on to speak about his second coming and the final judgment of all mankind. And very often people have got confused and a bit of a mess theologically because they don't see he's talking about two different things in this particular chapter. First of all, he's speaking of the judgment that will fall on Israel, the destruction of Jerusalem. They couldn't imagine that taking place, the destruction of the temple. But this is God's coming judgment that's going to fall upon them. It's going to fall upon them by the hands of the Romans, and it anticipates what was going to come in the future. because many in Israel at that time would be caught out unprepared when this judgment took place. And when Jesus goes on to speak about God's final judgment at his second coming, similarly, many people will be caught out and unprepared at that time when he comes again. But not only is he showing them that God is going to judge them as a people with the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple, he's also showing them that with the coming of himself, the Son of Man, God manifested in the flesh, the promised Messiah, the promised Savior, and the completion of his work, living without sin, dying for sins, rising again, and ascending back to glory. It would be the end of the outward worship he'd established in Israel in preparation for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. There would be no more temple, no more high priests and priests, no more sacrifices, no more feast days. All of these things were in preparation for, look forward to, spoke about, were types of the coming Lord Jesus Christ. But with his coming and with the completion of his work, there would be no more of these things. There wouldn't be a physical temple. The temple would be the church, would be individual believers. The church is called the habitation of God through the Spirit. Individual Christians are called temple, the temple of the Holy Spirit. The worship of God was not going to be an external thing, but it's going to be in spirit and in truth. And those listening to Jesus ask him, what will be the sign to show us that the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple is imminent? But because they thought that would take place at Jesus' second coming, they thought the sign of the imminent destruction of Jerusalem and the temple would also be the sign of Jesus coming again and ushering God's final judgment. But Jesus has to make clear to them, the fall of Jerusalem, the destruction of the temple, weren't a sign of his coming again and God's final judgment of all mankind. Jesus warns them some of the things that will take place even before Jerusalem falls and the temple is destroyed. Things that will take place actually right down through history. But there would be wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes, famine. He says you'll be brought before the Jewish religious leaders. You'll be persecuted. Some of you will be imprisoned. But don't fear. He says to those who are his, you'll be given an answer, a word to say. You'll be helped by the Holy Spirit to give testimony to your Savior. But he says, sometimes even people of your own families will deliver you up to the authorities. And many of you will die for my sake, for no other reason. You put your trust in me, your faith in me, and you follow me. And he makes clear in verses 18 and 19 that they will be spiritually kept during this difficult time leading up to the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple. And they will need to patiently continue to follow him no matter what is happening. And he makes clear to them in verses 18, 8 and 9, when all of this takes place, there'll be false teachers around. And they'll say, this means that God's final judgment is going to take place. When Jerusalem is defeated, when the temple is destroyed, they would say, this is a sign that God's final judgment of mankind is going to take place. And Jesus says, don't take any notice of them. That's not the case. These false teachers are in error. He says there are things that will precede his judgment upon Israel, the destruction of the temple, because the people rejected God's only beloved Son, the Messiah. But the sign that judgment was going to take place, that Jerusalem was going to be destroyed, the temple is going to be destroyed. He says the sign that is going to take place will be when the city is surrounded by its enemies. That's the sign. It's actually going to happen. And he says, those of you dwelling in Jerusalem, don't imagine you're safe being in Jerusalem, this special city of Almighty God. He says, you've got to get out of it as fast as you can, because it's going to fall. And there'll be great pain and great distress at the hands of your enemies when they attack you and defeat you. Instead of giving birth to a child being a happy time, he says things will be so terrible that you'd rather that hadn't even taken place, that you hadn't brought a child into the world at such a terrible time as Jerusalem fell and the temple is destroyed. And he says, many of you will die by the edge of the sword, and many of you will be taken into captivity. And this will be done by the hands of the Gentiles. It was the Romans that were going to do this particular thing. And then, having dealt with that subject, he starts to move on to speaking of God's actual final judgment, when he's going to come again and judge all mankind. So what Jesus warned of here, the words of Jesus, the Son of Man, God manifest in the flesh, they had to come to pass. If what he's just said doesn't happen, he isn't who he claims to be. He isn't the Son of Man. He isn't God manifest in human flesh. But it happened just as he said, exactly as he said. In AD 70, the Roman army surrounded Jerusalem, and they attacked Jerusalem, and they defeated Jerusalem, and they totally destroyed the temple, and thousands died by the sword, and many were taken captive. This was God's just, righteous judgment on a people who'd rejected God's only beloved Son, the promised Messiah, the Son of Man. And having spoken of this judgment to come on Israel with the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple, then he moves on to speak of God's final judgment at his second coming in power and in great glory. And he uses what's known as apocalyptic language. It's a language, a form of language that was common, very common then, is used sometimes today in rather unusual movies that can be very, very popular. It's a bizarre sort of language. It's a language that isn't literal, but is more symbolic. It's used in the Word of God in the book of Ezekiel and in the book of Revelation. And if you've read through both those books, you'll be familiar with it, how bizarre the language can be at times, and how clearly it's not literal language, but symbolic of some spiritual truth. So Jesus speaks of things to come. He says the sun and the moon and the stars will all be affected, the sea and the waves roaring. And it's very hard for us to know how literal what he's saying is or how symbolic what he's saying is. But clearly, there's going to be remarkable events take place in nature at the time when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again in power and in great glory. He's not coming to destroy the earth. He's not coming to destroy all people upon it. But he says, when he, the Son of Man, comes in the cloud with power and great glory, there'll be these convulsions, these remarkable things take place in nature. And people will be very fearful at what has taken place. But there is no one sign beforehand that will show his coming again is imminent. So just as with God's judgment upon Israel, the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple, the only sign that that was imminent was when the Roman army surrounded the city. And the one final sign of Jesus coming again in power and great glory to bring in God's judgment will be when he appears in power and in great glory. And he comes to redeem all who believed upon him, particularly in their bodies. You see, when Christ comes again, all those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, been redeemed by his precious blood, who were living, will have bodies changed like Christ's glorious body. And all those who have died will be raised with a body like Christ's glorious body. And then Jesus gives probably one of the shortest parables he ever gave, a parable of the fig tree and all the trees. He says, basically, their budding leaves makes clear summer is at hand, is near. So when these things I have spoken of come to pass, he says, you know in the first place that the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple is imminent. And the things I've said prior to my second coming, you know my second coming is near at hand and is imminent. One thing was certain, though, Jesus says to those who were living then. He says, some of you will still be alive when God's judgment falls on Jerusalem. The youngsters living in that day would still be living when the Romans attacked and destroyed Jerusalem with its temple. He says, the heavens and earth will sooner pass away than my words pass away and not be fulfilled. In other words, he's telling them, look, listen. I'm the Son of Man. I'm God manifest in the flesh. You can be absolutely certain what I've just told you is going to come to pass. The heavens and earth will sooner pass away than my word not be fulfilled. And so just as he said, it happened, as I've said. In AD 70, the Romans invaded. Jerusalem was destroyed. The temple was destroyed. Thousands lost their lives and many were taken into captivity, just as he had said. But equally, that should speak to us about the future. Because just as he said, he's going to come again in power and great glory. And he's going to usher in God's final judgment of everyone. That includes you. It will happen just as he said. His word will not pass away. So having spoken of this imminent judgment upon Israel, he goes on to speak about his coming again and God's final judgment. And he exhorts them, as he exhorts us, as to how we live our lives in the light of this. Jesus never, ever spoke about his coming again and God's final judgment to satisfy people's curiosity. If you take the trouble to go through all the times he spoke about it, and even the times the apostles spoke about it, it was always to stir up people to live in the light of what they've just been told. It was always for that particular purpose. People often will talk about and debate about Jesus' second coming, rather than making sure they live in the light of the fact he's going to come again and actually judgment. So Jesus says, take heed, basically, how you live. Make sure your life is not taken up with worldly pleasures and worldly things, totally unprepared for when he comes again, or if he calls us from this world before that second coming. He says, you need to watch and pray. We need to watch first of all and make sure we're not without the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to pray that he would save us, a guilty, lost sinner. Then as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the light of the fact our Savior is going to come again and we'll be standing before him, giving account to him, we should watch for any spiritual decline or decay in our lives and nip it in the bud as soon as possible. The worst thing you can do as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is to know that you're slipping in some area, not praying as much as I once did, not reading God's word as much as I once did, and not serving as I once did. I'm beginning to lose some of the love I once had for my Savior. You need to nip those things in the bud as soon as possible and not allow them to get worse and worse. We need to watch that there isn't something in our behavior as Christians we know is so contrary to the will of Almighty God. We need to watch that we're not failing to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we need to pray for the grace of God, the help of God, the strength of God, to walk worthy of the Lord Jesus and to lead a life fully pleasing to him. So we're not caught out, but we're prepared whenever Christ either calls us from this world, if it's before, or when he comes again. The need to watch and pray. So when the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus, God manifested in the flesh, personally judges you, you're not caught out unprepared to meet with him. We all will have to give an account to the Lord Jesus Christ. So many in the nation of Israel, when God's judgment fell upon them, were caught out unprepared. Why? Because they'd rejected the one and only Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so many people, when Christ comes again in power and great glory to judge every single person, will be caught out. Why? Because they rejected God's only beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who are not with and for him, Jesus says, are against him. We can't sort of be neutral. We're either for Christ and we trust in him, or we don't trust in him and we're against him. And what a thing to stand before the Son of Man, God who was manifest in human flesh, the only Savior of sinners, and to be guilty, as the people of Israel in general were, of rejecting him and not trusting in him to save us, a sinner. And how important then, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we watch and pray, so that when Jesus calls us from this world, or when Jesus comes again, either of those possibilities are possible in our lives, that we're not caught out unprepared, that we don't find ourselves as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ on that day, that great day, not where we would like to have been as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have to turn around and say to Christ, couldn't you have come again 5 years earlier? I was doing a lot better as a Christian then. Or couldn't you have come 6 months ago? I was doing a lot better as a Christian then. Why on earth would you come now, when perhaps I've spiritually declined, or I'm doing that which I know willfully is wrong before you? You see, the only way you can guarantee that when Christ calls you from this world in death, or when Christ comes again, you are in that state that you would want to be in, is to watch and pray. Pray that God will help you to walk worthy of the Lord and lead a life fully pleasing to him, and to watch, be on your guard, that you're doing that. And if that's the case, you see, it doesn't matter when God calls you from this world. It doesn't matter when Christ comes again, because you'll be ready and prepared to stand before the Son of Man as a sinner saved by his grace, who by his grace has sought and is living to his honor and to his glory day by day. The reality is Jesus' words will come to pass. They did with Jerusalem and the destruction of the temple. They'll come to pass, all he said about his second coming. We'll all have to give an account to him. And we need to make very sure here and now that we therefore trust in him to save us, a sinner. We're not just the same as the multitudes in Israel who turned their backs on the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a sinner saved by God's grace through faith in him, that we're seeking day by day, each day, to honor and glorify God, so that we could say, God, if you're going to take me from this world through illness or accident today, or if your son is going to come in power and great glory today, it is well with my soul, because Jesus is my Savior, and I'm following him day by day.